Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome back to Renee's Heart to Heart. This is Renee, and I'd like to wish you all a very, very happy Memorial Day. I thought we'd talk a little bit about Memorial Day today, about why we celebrate it, how it originated, and maybe talk a little bit about some of us who have family members who have enlisted, who have fought for our country. Some of us who have family members, like me, for instance, who has a grandson who's going into the Army very shortly. I think there's a lot to be said for the people who stand up and take responsibility for living in a free country. So let's bring in Shelley. Good morning, Shell. How you doing?
Good morning, Ray. I'm doing very good. Happy Memorial Day to you and your family.
Thank you. Thank you. Are you
and
doing
to our
something
listeners
today? Yeah. Are you doing something today?
Yeah, I'm hoping to get my sister finished moving in here, and we're doing a little vegetarian barbecue here with some burgers and fries and stuff just between my sister, my mom, and I. So it'll be, kind of celebrating Memorial Day and getting the last few pieces of her property in the house. So it'll be fun. I mean, it's working out nicely, so we're all in a good place with that.
Well, I'm glad to hear that. That's nice. That's nice. I'm having a little something here, not a big thing like I would normally do, because things are still kind of upside down. But
right.
Mike and Valerie and their family, which is quite large, is coming over because it's so hot and they can use the pool. So we're all just going to swim and have kind of light fare today. But I've also been invited to go to the Institute for lunch with one of our friends. So I'm going to do that just to say hi. It's been a while since I've been over there to say hi to some of
but
our friends.
But what's about
over there.
That is, especially for people that are meat eaters and have never tried vegetarian food, when you go to, like, sampling events, like when the Institute has holiday meals and stuff, it's really kind of an adventure to see what actually can be do with raw vegetables and fruits and nuts and the type of taste combinations you can get. You know, people think raw food is just all, you know, like a big green salad, and there's so much creativity and flavors and textures you can work with and have really hearty tasting meals. So if you're able to go, I would be curious as to what kind of dishes they're going to have today.
Well, for sure, they're having veggie burgers and probably vegetable shish kebab. Those are the norm and usually raw.
Oh, that's right. I just love the vegetable shish kebabs. They were wonderful.
So, I'm looking forward to it. I haven't been in a while since we went to the festival earlier in the fall. So, I'm looking forward to seeing everybody more than anything. And then I'll come back here and we'll do a little something here and swim. And yesterday was very hot. I had some of the kids here yesterday swimming in the pool. That was we started actually pretty early in the morning yesterday because it was hot out quickly yesterday. So I thought it would be good if I shared with everybody. I found lots of things, of course, online in regard to Memorial Day, but I thought I'd read a little something so that some of our younger listeners understand the history of Memorial Day. Originally, we celebrate things for years and years and years and years and years, and of course they change with each year, and you know, things evolve into this and into that. But what they started for, I think, still should have great importance. So Memorial Day originally was called Decoration Day, and I remember being very confused as a child. I thought they were two different holidays because some of my older family members would call it Decoration Day, and then my parents called it Memorial Day. It's a day of remembrance for those who have died in service in the United States of America. Over 24 cities and towns claim to be the birthplace of Memorial Day, while Waterloo, New York, was officially declared the birthplace of Memorial Day by President Lyndon Johnson in May 1966, it's difficult to prove conclusively the origins of the day. Now, see, and that's something else. I thought it was way before that, way, way, way before that. When I saw 1966, I mean, I was like, you mean since I've been, you know, I mean, in 1966, you know, I was, you know, I was a teenager. So regardless of the exact date or location of its origins, one thing is clear. Memorial Day was born out of the Civil War and a desire to honor our dead. It was officially proclaimed on the 5th May 1868. Oh, wow. See, now this makes more sense. It was officially proclaimed on the 5th of May in 1868 by General John Logan, National Commander of the Grand Army of the Republic, in his General Order No. 11. The 30th of May, 1868, is designated for the purpose of strewing with flowers or otherwise decorating the graves of comrades who died in defense of their country during the late rebellion and whose bodies now lie in almost every city, village, and hamlet churchyard in the land, he proclaimed. The date of Decoration Day, as he called it, was chosen because it was the anniversary of, because it wasn't the anniversary of any particular battle. On the first Decoration Day, General James Garfield made a speech in Arlington National Cemetery, and 5,000 participants decorated the graves of 20,000 Union and Confederate soldiers buried there. The first state to officially recognize the holiday was New York in 1873. By 1890, it was recognized by all of the northern states. The South refused to acknowledge the day, honoring their dead on separate days until after World War I, when the holiday changed from honoring just those who died fighting in the Civil War to honoring Americans who died fighting in any war. It is now celebrated in almost every state on the last Monday in May, with congressional passage of the National Holiday Act of 1971. This helped ensure a three-day weekend for federal holidays, though several southern states have an additional separate day for honoring the Confederate war dead. January 19th in Texas, April 26th in Alabama, Florida, Georgia, and Mississippi, May 10th in South Carolina, and June 3rd, Jefferson Davis's birthday in Louisiana and Tennessee. So it seems like we haven't pulled this together the way we I think that they had planned. And, of course, one of the most important things when you talk about something like going to fight for your country, that's inclusive. That means all of us. It doesn't mean, they didn't say I'm going to fight for certain parts of my country. They didn't say I'm going to fight for my state. They said I'm going to fight for my country. So it's sad that this, like so many other things in our world, can't pull itself together and be more united. I also wondered, do you remember back, I was a kid, when everybody, people on street corners and stuff sold red poppies? Do you remember that? And in observance of Memorial Day or Decoration Day, everybody wore a red poppy in their lapel. Women wore red poppies in their hair or on their blouse.
Now that you're mentioning it, it does sound familiar, but it's vaguely familiar to me. I don't remember if I or my family ever practiced that, but it does sound familiar. It does. Well, what I remember more than that are the yellow ribbons that became popular after that for not so much for fallen soldiers, but for soldiers that were missing in action, and then that just became a symbol for so many other things now, for just causes in general, and now they make them in all colors. but it was originally for soldiers that were missing in action and that kind of a thing.
What was it you said it was?
The Yellow Ribbon.
I thought the Yellow Ribbon was just significant of your soldiers coming home. Okay, so you're not talking about the ones that.
Right, it wasn't being used for soldiers that had been killed in duty. It was
okay,
for soldiers that were home. But the original one was I think the original soldier was MIA, so they didn't know if he had been killed in service or coming home or whatever or something along those lines. I don't remember the original story, but I just remember that the Yellow Ribbon was originally used for that.
Yeah, well, there was always that famous song, too. Tie the Yellow Ribbon around the Old Oak Tree. Remember that?
Yep,
that had quite a bit of significance there in the beginning. So in 1915, inspired by the poem In Flanders Fields, Moana Michael replied with her own poem, "We cherish, too, the poppy red that grows on fields where valor led. It seems to signal to the skies that blood of heroes never dies." She then conceived of an idea to wear red poppies on Memorial Day in honor to those who died during serving in the war. She was the first to wear one and sold poppies to her friends and co-workers with the money going to benefit the servicemen in need.
Wow.
Later, a Madame Guerin from France was visiting the United States and learned of this new custom that had been started by Miss Michael. When she returned to France, she made artificial red poppies to raise money for war orphan children and widowed women. This tradition spread to other countries. In 1921, the Franco-American Children's League sold poppies nationally to benefit war orphans in France and Belgium. The league disbanded a year later, and Madame Guerin approached the VFW for help. Shortly before Memorial Day in 1922, the VFW became the first veterans organization to nationally sell poppies. 2 years later, their Buddy Poppy program was selling artificial poppies made by disabled veterans. 1948, which is the year I was born, by the way, the U.S. Post Office honored Miss Michael for her role in founding the National Poppy Movement by issuing a red 3-cent postage stamp with her likeness on it.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so until I read this article, I'd forgotten about the poppy. The National Moment of Remembrance resolution was passed in December 2000, which asks that at 3 p.m. local time for all Americans to voluntarily and informally observe in their own way a moment of remembrance and respect, pausing from whatever they are doing for a moment of silence or listening to taps. Wow. So that's 3 p.m. on today.
Right.
So
right.
Wherever you are at that time.
Well, that's interesting because that would create like a wave because every hour as you go across the country, we would start here and then go over to Central Time, Mountain Time, and out to the West Coast. And every hour at 3 o'clock when it hits there, then you'd be having some remembrances. It makes it kind of like a wave going across our country.
Mm-hmm. Well, I thought, first of all, I am such a believer of not forgetting the things that have taught us anything. And so often we forget. We forget why we do this or we forget why we do that. I mean, how many times has somebody said to you, Christmas seems to be pretty much understood, although the extravagance of Christmas has gone far and beyond what it was established for. And then, of course, there's always the question of Santa Claus. How did we get, the religious part of Christmas with the Christ child and Mary and Joseph and all of that kind of stuff to Santa Claus or Saint Nick? And it does get kind of convoluted, and it's everything I look up, by the way, has different stories because so many different countries celebrate a little bit differently. And then you have Easter. how on earth did we get the resurrection to an Easter bunny?
Well, I mean, I know why that happened. There's even priests that talk about it. There were pagan rituals that used eggs and rabbits in and around the same time that they were creating the Easter celebration, and the two holidays ended up getting kind of merged with each other. But actually, those were pagan rituals, fertility rituals, where they used to use bunnies and eggs and things like that. And I remember when I first found out, I was actually offended. But it, you know, it's a sweet childhood holiday, and it's something that kids look forward to, but it has absolutely nothing to do with what Easter is supposed to be, Easter and Passover, all about. It has nothing to do with the religious holiday. It has nothing to do with the Christ resurrection or the Passover holiday. And it's, so it's kind of how that kind of got pulled into the mix for commercialism is nonsensical, because it has absolutely nothing to do with the day. It had to do with pagan fertility rituals that used to go on at the time, you know. But we've turned it into something more innocent and more playful and fun for the kids, but it has no spiritual connection, which is a shame,
because that's
what our marketing agents do. They take our beautiful holidays and they turn them into something commercial. But as long as you just enjoy the whimsical fun of the day and don't become too hardened by, you know, where it came from, just enjoy it for the day. Because I remember I was so offended when I first found out, and then I was like, you know what? It still was a fun day for me. I remember when I was a kid having Easter egg hunts and getting the little marshmallow chicks and stuff like that. You know, and to me it was innocent and it was playful, and I'm not going to take that away from kids just because now I see that it has a root in something that had nothing to do with the holiday.
Right. Well, and the other thing that I think it's important to remember is that any time you do things that are in celebration and bring us all together as families and friends is important to us. You know me about that kind of stuff. For me, it's all about supporting each other and being a part of each other's lives. I think it's almost imperative that we do that with each other. I think
it's a good idea to know where celebrations come from so that people don't keep perpetuating forward and celebrating something, and then, you know, 50 years later, nobody knows why you're even doing it. You're just getting a day off from work. So I'm glad that you read the history of Memorial Day, because some of the things I didn't know. And I find that valuable, to know the history of where a particular holiday is coming from. But like I said, in the case of Easter and Christmas, where so much commercialism has been placed into the holiday, I think that as long as you keep it, like you said, family-oriented or fun or child-oriented, because these holidays are really, really for children when you come right down to it, then I think it has a positive, regardless of what practices were made up or commercial or were from something having nothing to do with the actual holiday. As long as you keep it family-oriented and, you know, for the innocence of children and fun and whimsical in that way, I think it can only be positive.
I agree. The only thing that bothers me is the fact when it gets so evolved like that, like I said, we forget, you know, where it came from. We forget its history. We forget. That's why, like you just said, you know, if we just take notice every now and then when we do these holidays and when we remember why things are what they are today. And, of course, you're right. It's a way of making money for a lot of people. We don't disagree with that, either one of us. We know we all have to survive. It's just that you should always be able to see the forest for the trees, or the trees for the forest, however you want to look at that. And if you let it evolve to a place, and never talking to your kids about the fact that certain holidays are not just about candy and Easter eggs, or Christmas presents, or Hanukkah presents, and remind everybody of what they're supposed to be about,
right.
Then I think it's all good. I think it's all good because it gathers and it brings everybody together and it's fun. And let's face it, sometimes the world gets pretty tough. That's why I'm a big proponent of celebrating people's birthdays. It's the only day that truly belongs to you.
Right.
It's your day. And I think it's important to recognize those days for a lot of different reasons.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that Memorial Day, though, of course, like I said, when I was a kid, there was always when I lived in Ithaca the first time when I was very young, there was a big Veterans Day parade. And like I said, everybody was wearing poppies. And then as I grew older, there were bigger parades here in Florida. And then in the smaller towns, you read about them all the time. You know, there's big celebrations because a lot of our veterans have settled in the smaller towns. I think it's important to remember the fact that some families, remember the story I told that the elderly lady that I was sitting with for hospice told me the story about when a man in a family went to war, you put a thing in your window that let people know that you had somebody fighting in the war, and how beautiful I thought that was. And the recognition of that gave strength to the family that was left at home. And then, of course, if their loved one was killed in the war, there was something that was in the window to signify that as well, so that people could honor and grieve with the family of that fallen soldier. All of those things are important, because you cannot give and not ever be recognized. You cannot have a family. Remember those days? Well, now I guess there's a law, and I think I read about this one time on the air. We talked about not being able to take more than one son at a time, or if you lost a son, somebody else couldn't be sent to fight in a war. Didn't we do a show about that a while ago, like 6 or 7 months ago?
Right.
I think the same time that I talked about the thing being in the window, we talked about the fact that you, because some families, entire male population would be wiped out
But there have times where, I don't think more than one son could be drafted, but a lot of times they could willingly go, because you would hear families, all their sons, or 3 out of 4 sons or something like that. You know, we've heard of stories like that. So I don't know if it's voluntary or if they were drafted or if there's exceptions to that rule. I think under normal circumstances, they won't draft more than one son. But when there's a crisis going on, a lot of rules get changed. And, you know, it's like I like understanding more about history. I'm more of a pacifist. I don't really agree with wars. I think it's like grown adults with weapons. Just playing out immature child games, you know, trying to take land that doesn't belong to them, or oppressing people, you know. And when you're an adult and you have weaponry, you know, you can become so much more cruel. But all that being said, the soldiers that go out into the battlefield are so kind-hearted and brave to be able to defend people that they don't even know. I mean, they're going for their own families. But they're also going many times to defend people that they don't know, to defend other countries, not only to make the world a better place, but to make sure that violence and crime do not come into the United States from outside sources. You know, so the whole concept of a soldier is really quite remarkable. And I had seen a documentary the other day, World War II. Now, you know, I mean, I wasn't even born yet. And they were talking about the Nuremberg Airport in Germany. And I didn't realize this, but that was really one of the things that turned the tide on the Nazis, is when the U.S. and allies took over Nuremberg Airport, because Germany was actually starving a lot of their own population. They had already taken a lot of the Jews and other people that they felt were threats into concentration camps. But what they were doing is they were starving a lot of the rest of their population, not providing food and things like that. And when the U.S. took over the Nuremberg Airport, they started bringing in daily shipments of food and medical supplies, and people were flooding there, and then they were going out, and they showed these, like, black and white movies. They were going out on the streets with these big trucks with chocolate bars and just taking, you know, hundreds of chocolate bars at a time and throwing them out into the streets where all these little children were. And the children were, they were interviewing this man who's an adult. He's like in his 70s now. And they were interviewing him for this particular clip. And he was talking about how they would just wait for the U.S. soldiers to come down the street so they could get a chocolate bar. And they were just like tossing hundreds of them out of the sides of the truck. And they said that was the turning point in the war, you know. And it's astonishing to think how these ground troops really just changed world history. And it's, you know, and many of them didn't come home. So, you know, it's remarkable when you think of the bravery of people that decide to go into the armed forces, whether it's the Marines or the Army or Navy, Marines, Army,
Force.
And Air Force, right? Those are the four. Yeah.
Navy,
so
Marines.
My father was a Marine, and my nephew right now is in the Air Force. He's been in the Air Force. He's a career serviceman with an international an international service. He's been to Italy already, and now he's in Germany. And from Germany, I think he's going to Japan.
I have an uncle, and his grandson is now stationed in Okinawa, and his whole family over there, and was a career soldier as well, just like his grandfather. So it is well, and it's if you are not a, it's not a life for everybody, but thank God, it's perfect for some people.
Mm-hmm.
It's perfect. They,
well, like my nephew just recently, this is why my sister and I went to Germany last year, why it was so important for us to get there. Here they've been stationed in Germany for a little over a year. He's got a wife and two children, which I absolutely adore. And he was being shipped out to South Africa for a tour that was going to be anywhere from 6 to 9 months where nobody was going to have access to him. And it was a particular mission that was very secretive, and that's all we knew, is that he was going to South Africa, but that was it. He was going to have no contact with family members, and his wife only had access to speak to him one day a week in a particular allotted time where they could talk to each other, and then that was it. But she couldn't even contact him if there was an emergency. She had to wait for their phone call just to talk to him once a week. So, no, it isn't the type of lifestyle that a lot of people could handle. Could you be married to a man and then just have him shipped somewhere for 9 months and you had no ability to speak to him or have him around? You know, but this is what she knew when she signed up to marry him. When he went into the Air Force, and it's worked out well for them. You know, that she's very respectful of him, and she's kind of come to her own. She works for the Air Force now, also in a baseline type of position, so she stays there. She would never get deployed anywhere, but it's a very, very different lifestyle, and thank goodness that we have men and women that are willing to do that for our safety inside our borders.
Exactly. Well, that's what it's all about. It's about being able to know that there's somebody always looking out for us, somebody always protecting the parts of our world that we're very far removed from. And there's an inner peace that comes with understanding that and realizing that. And, of course, for me, I should only speak for myself, I have respect for the fact that somebody can give up, I don't care whether it's 2 years, 4 years, 20 years of their life, to dedicate it to living their life for something other than themselves.
Right, right.
About a lot of vocational choices. I feel that way about priests. I feel that way about nuns. I feel that way about a lot of organizations where they have to separate themselves in a lot of cases and just be this person, this soldier, if you will. And I don't know that I could do that. So, of course, I admire and respect people who can. And I think that it's important that we never forget exactly all the different things that have happened in the United States in particular. I mean, it's bigger than that, obviously. We've talked a couple different times about the Holocaust, and we've talked about some of the different things that we know have happened in our world, and some of them are horrific, and they've left the scars on people that are still surviving today. But the point is, make a decision, a bona fide decision, that you want to fight for your country. You want to be there and be a part of the protection for the rest of our country. That's an amazing thing, a huge responsibility and an amazing thing. I've mentioned my grandson, Joshua, who is 17. He'll be 18 next week, June 1st. And he leaves for boot camp on the 16th of June. And he'll be gone for 10 weeks in South Carolina doing his training. And I have to figure out how I'm going to get most of the family to South Carolina for his graduation.
Wow.
It'd be a long but we're very, very proud of the decisions he's made. And even since he first made the decision, many weekends are not his own. He already does training over here at the Army Reserves place that's on Gun Club Road, and he does a lot of things. He went over the other night and was there for a couple hours, and they have a space outside their office where the guys go out and do some endurance training and things like that. He's had to, and they go to Okeehele Park, too, for endurance training and running, and he's really accepted and been respectful of what they've asked him to do, so I'm very proud of him. And, of course, his game plan is to be able to come home, and the armed forces will help pay for a college education. So it's a great thing that's going on there now. And, of course, we have recently all of the falderall about the VA hospitals and problems with the funding at the VA hospitals and things like that. And very sadly, those kind of things exist in everything where money is concerned. So I'm not going to go there or touch on any of that. That hurts me to think that we don't seem to be able to do anything that doesn't open up some places for people that don't have the right state of mind to be handling somebody else's money. And that really hurts me. But that is what it is. I do I want to recognize them and make sure that everybody does the same today, and hopefully you're respectful of what they have done for us and what they continue to do for us. And maybe today at 3:00 everybody will remember, wherever they are, to just have a moment of silence. We will do that here in my home. I will remind everybody at 3:00. And however you want to recognize it, whatever you want to do is good by me, but I think it's awesome when the whole world gets together and does something on a schedule like that. I think that's an amazing thing and a beautiful thing. So if you have soldiers out there, thank you. And from Renee's heart to heart, we feel very strongly about it, and we appreciate what they're doing for the rest of our world. I do want to talk about one other thing today. Do you want to say anything else for Memorial Day, Shel? Because I want to bring up a little something that came to me through the Bully Project, and I want to recognize it right away because I want to make sure everybody understands the difference of what happened here and the truth. So would you like to say something?
No. I'm good. I think we talked about it sufficiently, and I'd like to hear the next thing that you wanted to bring up.
Okay. This was sent to me by Gary, who's been on the show quite a few times, and he is involved with the Bully Project. And Here's the story. When will these tragedies end? Enough is enough. We're brokenhearted to hear the news that 12-year-old Hector Elandro Mendez Ramirez of Mexico died on Tuesday after head injuries sustained a week after schoolmates slammed him against a wall. Upon receiving this news, Mexico's president has vowed to launch a countrywide battle against bullying. Our thoughts and prayers are with the family of Hector Elandro Mendez Ramirez, and we hope that this horrific tragedy might be the impetus for change. Now, there are 5,000 likes and 2,300 shares and a few comments in regard to this. And my comment was, make my point, this is not bullying.
Right.
It's a felony. And my heart goes out to this family, but we need to recognize the fact that we, Shelley and I talk about this all the time. An action like that is no longer bullying. That is a crime. To hurt somebody, even when we see, they call them bullying, everything we see on TV, the girls beating up the girl on the bus and the this, that's not bullying.
That's
bullying
assault.
Is,
that's attacking somebody. That's
exactly.
Crime.
But, I mean, you know, my son has special needs. He's bullied in school. He gets assaulted by other students, both physically and verbally. One mom even got mad because her son was suspended. How can a parent be mad when your son attacks a special needs kid? I believe bullying starts at home with the family. Again, you're right. That's a true fact. Starts at home with the family. I agree with that. We agree with that. But
yep.
Once they lay their hands on him, that's not what it is anymore. Rest easy, little boy. You will be missed. Bullying needs to stop now. I get bullied every day for being me. Bullying is getting way out of control. Yes, I may be only 15, but I can try to put a stop to it where I live. It's time to make a change now. These are some of the comments that are on the page. The point is, everybody, if it's to that point, if you are at that point, and you know that your child is being hurt, physically harmed, you have those, it's not bullying anymore. Now it's a crime. And because this child died from the injuries, I would have to assume that it will become a felony. I don't know the laws in Mexico. I don't know what exactly will happen. But once
well, the president. The president actually reacted. Everybody's going to be watching now, and obviously this is going to become a landmark case. I would be surprised if it doesn't have full media coverage from here forward now. You know, I mean, we're not talking a local official. We're talking about the president of Mexico. So this is going to be a landmark case in that country, which is going to reverberate in other places. I mean, it's getting coverage here in the U.S.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I hope you're right. I hope that everybody, first of all, draws the line between what's bullying and what's a crime. And I hope that everybody gives some recognition to the fact you can't keep saying the word bully when somebody is hurt physically. It's no longer bullying. Even sticking, you know, the kids were watching some goofy show the other day where the boys took the skinny kid that everybody made fun of and did a swirly on him and stuff like that. And
mm-hmm.
AJ said, is that bullying? And I said, well, since they didn't hurt him, really, they embarrassed him and you know, made him feel bad about himself, but they didn't cause any actual harm to him, then I guess it could still be called bullying. But once somebody puts their hands on you and comes into your touch zone, for me it changes. If you want to call me, well, somebody on here got called a faggot and all this kind of stuff, you know.
I think once it transcends verbal abuse, it's not bullying anymore. I don't think swirlies, although they're given comic, they're given a comic presentation on shows and stuff. Once you lay your hands on somebody, it's no longer bullying. And I don't think the swirlies that they talk about, that the jocks do to the people that they consider are nerds or whatever, I think that's transcending bullying because it's not name-calling anymore. Name-calling, berating somebody, insulting somebody, that's bullying. Once it comes down to threats of violence, that's not bullying anymore. That's what people have to understand. If somebody says, I'm going to wait for you after school and I'm going to beat you up with a group of my friends, that's not bullying. That's threatening. And there should be some kind of a way to have, you know, I mean, if you threaten somebody, that's criminal. You cannot threaten to harm another individual, whether it be in print or verbally or whatever. That's illegal. All right, so once it goes to physical harm, it's no longer bullying. These are criminal activities. And I'm sorry, I put swirlies in there also. You're laying your hands on somebody else. And the not just the humiliation, but that can cause physical harm to them. You can injure somebody by doing that. You can wrench their neck. You can, you know, accidentally bruise the side of their head. So it's not a funny thing. I don't find it comical at all.
I don't either at all. Now, I've just heard from Gary, and he's calling it a crime caused by bullying. And I would say that that's true. Kind of a cause and effect thing comes into play here. And it starts out as bullying, but once somebody lays their hands on your child or on you, then it becomes a whole different thing. It's called an assault. And if they use a weapon, it's called an assault with a deadly weapon, I believe. I'm no lawyer and I'm no policeman. But everything I read tells me if you take a brick and throw it at somebody, you can be arrested for assault with a deadly weapon.
Right.
If you take a pen can be a deadly weapon depending on what you do with it. So, again, these kind of things are crimes that have rolled way out of control. And Gary's right. It starts with bullying. It starts with making fun. It starts with name-calling. But once it evolves into physical contact, ramming somebody's head into a wall can kill them, obviously.
Obviously.
And the one day I watched the video, this was several months ago, it was here in Florida, some girls attacked another girl, and they had her between the seats on the bus, and they were kicking her, stomping on her, lifting their bodies up between the seats so that they could get enough momentum to slam down on her with their feet. Again, they could have killed her.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't, God, but they could have killed her. And it started out with just aggressive bullying, aggressive behavior. And I think all the talk we do about bullying, the workbook that we work on Tuesdays, which is tomorrow morning, and all the things we've discussed in the past year. I want to remind everybody that I have said more than once, more than a dozen times, I don't believe the day that my grandson got hurt so badly, that was the intent. I don't believe that. I believe, though, that once you get caught up in the frenzy of anger, and the frenzy of losing self-control, God knows what will happen. Only God knows what will happen. Because you don't even know what will happen once you've got yourself to that point. Have you ever known anybody, Shel, that was really volatile? I have a girlfriend. She's passed recently. When we were all young, everybody loved her. She was a great dancer. She was funny. She was beautiful. She was so volatile.
Mm-hmm.
If she if she got angry with somebody, everybody would come find me to go calm her down. Because
yeah.
I saw her one time beat the living hell out of another girl. And I was like, I tried to take her off of her. I did everything. I could not stop her. Her strength was almost, I don't know, possessed. And then when she got married, the first time she got married, she ended up being married, I don't know, three times or more than that, maybe four times. I've seen her beat the hell out of her husband.
Yep.
And
yep.
Most times she was, I loved her. Like I said, you know, she was fun. If she was at a party, you could be sure there would be something that would be fun that involved her.
Yeah.
But when she lost her temper, she was out of control.
Yeah, well, my ex-friend Sue was like that. She was, and again, she was very smart. She had a high IQ, but because she was so volatile, she ended up becoming an alcoholic and a drug addict in a way to deal with her volatile emotions. But I was kind of like you with her. I was like one of the only people that could calm her down. And when she was really in a bad place, she would seek me out sometimes. And she would get into these rages, and nobody wanted to be around her because she could be physically violent, but her thing was her mouth. She could just draw and quarter you just with her words. She had vile language, and it would shock you because here she was this corporate person. You know, she worked at a very high prestigious job. And then literally the drop of a hat, this profanity would just come out of her mouth, you know, with very little provocation. And you'd sit there, you'd just be like in shock. You know, her words were very powerful. She could also get violent, though.
Mm-hmm. Well, so that's the reason I bring this person up, this old friend of mine, is because sometimes that's the makeup of somebody. Sometimes it goes unharnessed for many, many years until something bad happens.
Right.
If you have a friend or somebody that you care about that is, you know, on a short string, so to speak, if there's any way you can get them some help because you care about them, I would say do what you can do. We've talked so many times about the things you can do for yourself to promote some peace and bring yourself to a better place. But and I don't know if there is a diagnosis, to be honest with you, a bona fide diagnosis of somebody who just gets so carried away that they can't stop themselves. But it seems
Well, believe it or not, and we've discussed this on other shows, I mean, there are particular food items that can make that happen. My ex-brother-in-law, was very angry. He had a terrible car accident like 40 years ago when we lived in New York, and he was crippled for over a year. His pelvis was actually crushed, and he was just in terrible pain for a long time. And after he recovered and got back to work, he just had, like, these major anger issues. He seemed to never get over the anger of the accident. And he could be very difficult to be around because of that. And then years later, when I became vegetarian and the rest of the family followed suit, he became vegetarian. He still eats fish from time to time, but he stopped eating other meats and stuff. He noticed, and he had a talk with me one day. He says, I'm so glad you introduced us to that. He said, because his anger seemed to just go away once he became vegetarian. It wasn't being aggravated by the steroids that are in meats and stuff. And a lot of issues with anger among people today, and especially teens because they're even more affected by it, is from the steroids that are in regular factory farm meats. There's a link to that. And so that's why we advocate, if you're going to be a meat eater, to go to free-range meats that don't have those steroids added to it. But he never went back to eating meat anyway because he felt such a difference in his demeanor and his ability to cope with life. You know, and I've seen things like that with sugars. There are certain people that if they have certain types of sugars or processed foods, they kind of like lose control of themselves. They get irritable and they get nasty. Meanwhile, if they're eating better, they lose that. My girlfriend I was just talking about, if she had wine, now she could drink vodka, she could shoot up. I mean, she was a heroin addict, and it would mellow her out. But if she drank wine, she would become almost homicidally angry. She actually tried to kill me two different times, and both times that she attacked me was after she drank wine. It did something to her. It just changed her whole persona. She always was regretful once she sobered up, but it wouldn't prevent her from drinking wine again because she thought she had a handle on it. But two times in our 12-year friendship when she drank wine, one time she grabbed a knife and tried to stab me. Thank God her boyfriend was standing behind her, and he actually picked her up and prevented her from stabbing me. And another time she picked up a crystal bowl. If she had hit me in the head with this thing was huge. It was about 2 pounds. If she had hit me in the head with that, she would have succeeded. But at both times, thank God, there were other people nearby, and they prevented her from following through. And then when she sobered up, she didn't even remember doing it. She had no recollection of it. So,
I think that all of that is true, and I think outside things like alcohol, drugs, certainly steroids, all those things can attribute to somebody's personality being volatile. But when we're talking about kids, and I don't disagree that sugar and some of the additives that are in some of the food we have today couldn't be partially to blame, but I also believe that some kids, some people, are just, they have a disconnect in there someplace. And they need to be psychologically helped, and I think that the only way that can happen is if somebody's paying attention. If you have somebody that constantly has these inability to maintain self-control, something's wrong. I promise you, something's wrong. So if you're seeing that on a regular basis, you need to do something about it. You know, there was a show on many years ago about little kids, even preschoolers, who could not control their tempers, who could not control, their behavior at all. And it ended up being, a chemical imbalance in these kids. I want to say that the first time I watched it was on 60 Minutes, but it had to be 20 years ago, the first time I ever saw it. And then there's a commercial on TV right now that talks about the fact that this little girl says on the commercial, you know, I used to bang my head into the wall until I was bleeding, and I couldn't stop myself. And all of those kind of things point to something else being wrong, and there's an imbalance someplace, whether it's food, whether it's a chemical imbalance in your body to begin with, or whether it's a real disconnect in there someplace. Once somebody can't control their temper, something has to be done. So if that's what happens, if the bullying starts out, you know, like we talk about looking at somebody. If you have that volatile person and the little boy that we said say so, when somebody says, you know, I don't like you, you smell bad, and you go so, if you're dealing with that volatile person, you could be in big trouble.
Mm-hmm.
If you're dealing with somebody who's, you know, not got that going on in their head and in their body, then it's different. But if we're talking about somebody who's totally okay and normal and they still, because of the egg on from an audience, because of the desire to appear in charge, and they just do these mean things because of that, they need help as well. But you have to recognize the difference. And, again, if you're a parent and this is going on, and your kid comes home and has a bruise on their face or anything like that, this needs to be addressed. This is not just bullying anymore. And
right.
Gary's right. It could have been brought on by the bullying that turned into something much greater and much more dangerous. But it's no longer a point in time where you ask the child to deal with it himself or say, you know, stand up for yourself or all the things that we've heard, even in the bully movie, all the things that we saw parents do because that's what you think you're supposed to do. And you and I talk about being socially adept to be able to deal with somebody talking bad to you.
Right, right.
You know, so all of that stuff is true. But I think that we as the adults, if you're in a situation where you're the grown-up and you're supposed to be keeping an eye on this stuff, you need to know the difference yourself. You really need to know the difference. And I hope, Gary, if you're listening to me right now, if you know anything about this young man and know whether charges have been filed against these boys, I would love to hear about that and know what the story is. I will try to research this maybe later today or tonight before tomorrow's show. Tomorrow will be the Bullies to Buddies show, and if there is anything else that is important for us to hear, then...
Now, in the case of this, the 12-year-old boy in Mexico, he was attacked by a group of boys or by one boy?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
No,
well,
I'm asking...
Apparently it was a group of boys. Here's what, for some reason, part of Gary's conversation came up and now the rest of it came up. I feel this case needs to be considered a bullying case that led to a criminal case. Reason why I feel this is important to connect bullying to this case because bullying needs to be focused on so it will not lead to such horrid results. My concern is that if we focus on this case as a crime, then bullying is ignored. Whereas if bullying was focused on in the first place, this may have been prevented. Well, and I don't disagree with that. I don't disagree with that at all, Gary. I believe that that everything that you just said there is true. However, if we put it, just like everything else, if we put a title on it, like bullying, and don't address the fact that hurting somebody, bodily hurting somebody is a crime, then we're doing an injustice as well. To say that bullying led to a crime, I'd be in total agreement with. And I'm sure that there's lawyers or professional people out there that would have even stricter guidelines on what you could call it and what you should call it. I don't know what they are at this point in time, but I may hear after today's show, somebody may set me straight, and that'd be great. But I think that one is one thing and one is another thing. And I don't disagree with you, Gare. I seldom disagree with you. So I just think that if we keep saying bullying, because too many people think bullying is just being unkind. And certainly slamming somebody's head into the wall is not unkind. It's you're trying to kill them.
Right.
And that's what they do. So we have to give that the kind of recognition that it deserves. So we're almost out of time. I have something that somebody sent me that is so meaningful to me, and I know it will mean something to Shelley, and I hope it will mean something to all of you. People send me things about, you know, how we feel about things and what we do in our lives to make them better or to make them more even, more balanced. Our lives begin to end the day we become silent about things that matter.
Wow.
I could live on those words the rest of my life.
Yep.
Because
yep.
I truly, completely believe that that's true. And that's one of the biggest reasons that we do this radio show, because I found myself so overwhelmed by all the unkindnesses out there in every corner of the world, in every corner of my that if I'm going to complain about it, I need to do something about it. So that's what we do here. So if your world is mean and angry and people are doing things to hurt each other, even people that profess to love each other, you know, wake up, everybody. This is the only chance you got to do it right.
Mm-hmm.
This is the only chance you got to do it right. So go out there and have a great day. Happy Memorial Day. Happy picnics, whatever you're doing. We will be back tomorrow morning with the Bullies to Buddies show. God bless everybody. Bye-bye. Thanks, Shell.
Bye, Renee. Happy Memorial Day, everyone.